Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glass.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
I thank and praise God for this borewell that God has enabled us to put in this village with the prayer and support of Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Radio Ministry, and by the prayer and support of the Pastor Greg Young and the Chosen Generation Ministry, we could put the borewell in this village for the community. Before, this community was drinking dirty water, and that was really causing a lot of sickness. But now they are getting pure and fresh water, and all the community is so thankful for Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Ministry and all the supporters. And we pray for all of you that God would bless you and God would use you so that we can put more and more borewells in a poor and a needy community, those who are really having a problem of the water. And this is this borewell we have put, and pure and fresh water is coming, and we are so thankful for all of you. Especially we thank to Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Ministry that help us and supported us to put the borewell. Thank you. God bless you.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome to the program. Great to have you with me. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice in where you can listen each and every day, and I thank you for keeping it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio. And great program lined up for you today. Hour number two, David Wormser will be with us. We'll get updates with regards to what's happening in Israel. Also, some... It's just stunning to me, all of the disinformation that's flying around regarding Israel and who are the Jews and all this stuff. But we'll talk a little bit about that with him. If you go back, if you go to the Rumble page, go to ChosenGenerationRadio.com show archives. And if you look at if you take a look at my that very first link, it'll take you to the Chosen Generation Radio show on Rumble. And when you go there, as a matter of fact, if my producer can, if we can pop up on Rumble, we were on Rumble yesterday, And we thank those that joined us over on Rumble. And we'll try and get back up on there today and see how that works. But at any rate, if you go there and punch in David Wormser Israel, you'll get the updates. And you can go through there and see. We have refuted every argument that there is regarding who Israel is and its history and all of those kinds of things, but really giving you factual information. I was on a call very early this morning with a friend of mine, and we were talking about that very thing. There's a lot of disinformation that is out there, and it's important for us to know the truth. But David will be with us. We'll also have T. Rose will be with us today talking about the fake news and censorship, the continued censorship, and Google is being further exposed. And by the way, if you haven't seen Dinesh D'Souza's Police State, strongly recommend that. I watched it yesterday afternoon. It's scary, to be honest. It really is. But we know who is in charge. Also coming up, Rick Manning will be with us. We'll talk about RFK Jr., his potential impact on the election. And then Melanie Collette is with us coming up as well. We'll talk about the police state a bit with her. But joining me now, always love to have him with us. He's here on Wednesdays. I want to welcome to the program my good friend, our constitutional originalist attorney, David Shostokas. David, welcome. Good to have you.
Thank you so much, Greg. It's good to be with you. I didn't get a chance to say Happy Thanksgiving because we were, of course, off last week. So I'm happy to tell you Happy Thanksgiving now.
Thank you.
I know we exchanged a few texts and whatnot, yeah. But it's not quite the same as doing that, and the same to your audience, you know. So it was a wonderful. Almost 3 or 4 days for us last week because not everybody could get together on Thanksgiving Day. So we had another one on Friday, and then we had another group on Sunday, you know, everybody, you know, sort of straggling in from all over. And so it was, we had multiple times. So
awesome. Awesome.
And now we'll just get my Mount Rushmore hoodie in shape, and I'll be all good. It's cold. It's about 15 or 16 degrees up here today.
Wow.
So, Chicago neighborhood. And it's a strange thing. I like to have the window open and the heat on. You know, it's curious. It's sort of dumb. It's sort of like when you're driving in the car with the windows open and the air conditioning on. You know, it just.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah.
You get to be an American. What Americans used to be able to do, you know.
Well, that used to be a thing when you cruised the Strip. Know, especially as it got into, you know, winter and the temperatures got down, you know, lower, you would have the windows down and then you would have the heat blowing underneath the dash on your legs to warm your body, you know, because you had to have the windows down and you couldn't, you know, whistle at the girls and say hello and see what was happening out there.
Yeah, and, you know, there's something you sleep better when there's fresh air.
True.
As opposed to just the air the dry air that comes from the heat, even if you have a humidifier.
Yeah.
And so it's nice, but that causes you to have things like, hoodies inside. So good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Good morning. No doubt. No doubt. Well, and happy Thanksgiving back at you. We had a very nice day. We had about 11 of us gathered around the Thanksgiving table this year, which was wonderful, and just had a really, really beautiful day. So we were very grateful for that.
It's a wonderful thing when you can do all that. But, of course, my sister's son just got married in March. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, this Thanksgiving, on Thanksgiving Day, he was with his new wife and her family. And so we had to do another Thanksgiving with him and her,
right,
and some other folks. So you have to accommodate all those kinds of situations.
So we did ours a little early. Normally we do it later in the day. So this time around we did Thanksgiving right around noon, which is early for us. Normally it's later than that, because my daughter and my son-in-law needed to leave in order to go over to his parents' house, So we had a similar situation going on. And by the way, we're expecting our fourth grandchild now. A little boy on the way.
Congratulations! That's the best deal there is. The whole grandparent thing is the best there is, because you get all the fun, none of the responsibility. You know, it's a wonderful thing.
There you go. So anyway, so that was good. I also need to let you know and let my Wednesday audience know I'm going to be taking December off. I usually take the last 2 weeks to just kind of refresh, but this year the Holy Spirit said I want you to take take the whole month and refresh, retool, regear, and get ready for the big launch in January. So
Then we may have some other Georgia news, because most of the on any number of motions, as you know, I'm involved in the president's case in Georgia. Not the president is not my client, but rather Pastor Reverend Stephen Lee is. And any number of motions and discovery things and everything like that. Starting this Friday, there's going to be some activity there. So maybe by the time we get back in January, we'll have some interesting Georgia news.
Well, you know, and I would anticipate that they are going to be continuing to work to ramp up all of those cases against the president. There's a lot of buzz that they're really trying to, you know, push this, because obviously, you know, they've lost these cases now. They lost, as I understand it, they lost another effort to try to keep him off the ballot. And so every time that they lose trying to get him, disqualified, they double down on these ridiculous cases. We should anticipate that.
Yeah, kind of doubling down and whatnot. On the other hand, of course, last week, the state in Georgia, they filed a motion for a trial setting and asked the judge for a trial date set the trial in August. Obviously, what they want to do is try and drag everything out to make sure that it's ongoing once during the election cycle, as opposed to a resolution ahead of time. That would tell me that they're not very, very confident of a conviction. That would be that, because, of course, they do have a different RICO case going on in Georgia regarding some rappers and some other things. Ms. Willis is prosecuting some other folks under a very strange RICO theory. And while they just finished picking the jury after 3 months of jury selection in that other case, the very first thing that happened after the jury was picked was a motion for a mistrial. So there's every reason to believe that they're not going to be, in terms of ramping it up, I think they're going to do whatever they can to get news, but I don't think they're going to try and do things to make sure that they have a resolution. It's an interesting situation.
Well, no, I remember that this is almost like a Russian roulette for them, right? They've got four cases that they are hoping one of them is going to do enough damage, to be able to slow down President Trump's train. That's their ultimate goal with regards to this. But I think the other piece to this is, and this is something that's kind of out of the headlines, but the number of individuals that they continue to privately assault by kicking their doors down and so forth, people are not aware that they are continuing. The Department of Justice and the FBI are continuing their assault on individual Americans and their freedoms and their rights.
It's among the reasons I heard you before you brought me in. I heard you speaking of D'Souza's new movie, and I saw that a couple of weeks ago as well. And so that tells the story of that as much as anything. But it does tell you that it's an ongoing situation to intimidate folks that might stand up for election matters, that might stand up for families when it comes to kids in the in schools, and all those kinds of intimidation tactics are continuing on. And so they need to people need to keep an eye out for that, so that we can only pray for those folks that have not been intimidated and are still being persecuted by the government for essentially exercising their rights as Americans.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you know, remember that they did all of this. I mean, they have, it's very clear, created a list. And they are working down that list, apparently predicated on what they believe to be, you know, priority targets.
One of the among the frightening things about that whole situation, when you talk to me and you talk about a list, there is truly evidence, and it's been released that the people on the list include folks that traveled to the Washington, D.C. area on January 6th, whether they had anything to do with being at the Capitol, whether that for whatever reason, or that maybe they were there for a job interview, maybe they were there to lobby Congress, maybe they were there to visit the National Archives. And yet, but they've compiled a list of anybody that traveled to D.C. In and around January 6th. And apparently those folks are the targets of investigations as well. This is very, very strange, and it's very, very sad. You know, it's not you don't think that it's America, but we have to do that. And the people that and ultimately, hopefully, the people that are misusing the government will be called to task in one form or another.
Well, you know, and there was another situation where you had a journalist who was speaking out in support of and exposing the things that were happening regarding J6 and the defendants and so on, talking about the American Gulag Chronicles and so on, who they went after and arrested. Yeah. He was not at the Capitol. He never traveled to Washington, D.C., but he was broadcasting and speaking out against the infringements on freedom of religion, freedom of speech, the free press, the redress of government, and peaceful protest, and how the First Amendment was being obliterated by the Department of Justice and the FBI, along with the Fourth, Fifth, and Sixth Amendments of our Constitution, which you and I have talked about. Yes. And they came and kicked his door down.
Well, you know, the list is long and unfortunately inglorious. It includes that fellow from the Tucker recently interviewed that sent out a tweet about voting for Hillary Clinton online. Then after as soon as Joe Biden was elected, they sent the FBI to get him. And strangely enough, they convicted him of election interference because he, back in 2016, had sent out a tweet, you know, that you could vote for Hillary online, save yourself, you don't have to go to the polls. And he put up some fake website.
Right.
And they convicted him of an election interference crime and sentenced him to like 5 years in prison. It's currently on appeal. But that interview with Tucker is also extraordinarily revealing. The information is out there if anybody will take a look, you know, and yep. In a strange old day, people like the ACLU and other press would cover this, and they'd be up in arms about the misuse of government on things like that.
But, well, if you're
alternative media as well that's now doing things.
If you're Antifa or BLM, they're all over you. But if you're on the other side of the fence, and that's what the film The Police State really, you know, talks about and refutes, because the argument then is as well, you know, yeah, well, if we were a police state, then, you know, we'd have closed borders. If we were a police state, then we, you know, then there wouldn't be riots in the streets and the defamation of, you know, statues and so on. And, you know, that's an interesting point to bring up, too. think about, you know, all those people that were in the rotunda that were at the Capitol on January 6th. There's no evidence of them defacing statues. There's no graffiti left behind. None of that stuff took place with all of those people there. And yet supposedly they were insurrectionists. Yet you just recently had some people who tried to scale the fence of the White House, defaced statues all around the White House and all around that entire neighborhood and area, broke up government property. And yeah, you know what? They've got a grievance. Those poor people.
The way you pick and choose and the way you charge these things, you know, it's obviously the folks at the Capitol that broke windows, that did damage and whatnot. There's vandalism charges. There's things that you can do against them. But on the other hand, the folks that painted supposed bloody handprints on the fence at the White House, they're vandals as well. So, you know, it seems like those folks should be charged. People that blocked the Brooklyn Bridge or the Golden Gate Bridge that are interfering with traffic and possibly endangering other folks' lives because ambulances and other emergency services can't get through. Seems like you should prosecute people for the crimes they commit.
Yeah.
Not for being associated with a political view that is out of favor with the authorities. And that's what's going on. So we're going to do what we can to defeat those things.
Well, so let's shift over. I don't know how much I know you're because of how much you're involved with the Georgia situation and the things you're involved in, but SCOTUS reconvened 2 days ago and started working through their agenda. And if I'm not mistaken, one of the things that's on that agenda has direct impact on what you and I have talked quite a bit about, which is the Chevron Doctrine.
Yes. Yeah, they're coming up with this. And we can only hope for background for your audience. As you and I have talked about before, what's known as the Chevron Doctrine, based on a case from about 40 years ago, where the Supreme Court determined that the federal courts are supposed to give deference to the interpretation, the legal interpretations of the law provided by agencies, where, of course, there's a law that governs, theoretically, the federal communications system, the Department of Education, the various kinds of agencies throughout the government, and yet these agencies are able to, in fact, issue regulations that have the force of law, enforce the regulations that's essentially being executive, issuing the regulations is essentially being the legislature, and then in the end, the agencies, by virtue of the Chevron Doctrine, get to interpret the law. Not only that Congress passed, but the agency regulations that they passed, and so they agencies under the Chevron Doctrine essentially get to be judge, jury, and executioner. And the Article III courts are those courts that are created by the Constitution, are supposed to give deference to the interpretations of the law as done by the agencies. And now the Supreme Court is revisiting that, and hopefully reestablishing the Constitution. The Constitution, of course, has the three branches of government, the legislature, the Congress, the presidency, the executive, and the courts under the Supreme Court, which would be the judiciary. The judiciary is charged with interpreting the law. It's not charged with saying, oh, somebody else gets to interpret the law. They're in charge with interpreting the law. And there would be going a long way to restoring constitutional government in the United States were this Chevron Doctrine to be overturned. And there is, in fact, a case, and I believe there's two that have been consolidated before the Supreme Court, to where they're now going to hear arguments and presumably make a decision in the springtime, which should scale back or maybe do away with the Chevron doctrine, which, of course, has been something that Justice Thomas has been in favor of ever since he's been on the court.
You know, I believe the two cases are Brown versus the United States and Jackson. That's the only two that I see on here that is a consolidated case. But it's interesting that the writer, Amy Howe, of the SCOTUS blog completely skirts the Chevron doctrine argument.
Yeah. I haven't read Ms. Howe's summary of those matters, but strangely enough, SCOTUS blog is usually pretty even-handed. They usually pretty much describe things without being opinionated on it. You know, they legitimately talk about the pros, the cons, and the legal things. So I'm not sure what she had to say on the subject on the cases.
She writes that the cases involve the Armed Career Criminal Act. And an individual was convicted of a felony and possesses a firearm when that person has at least three serious drug offenses. The question is how to define serious drug offense. Now, my understanding is that that consolidated case had to do with overturning decisions by an administrative court. But as I read through in the initial tease, if you will, the session preview, it says that the power of the administrative agencies. So that is one of the things that's going to be discussed. But I don't see it in her breakdown of those cases. I don't know what that exactly is.
Well, if it turns out that it's the power of the administrative agency in terms of, and they talk about the one definition relative to the interpretation of the gun law, if in fact it's a regulation of the agency that's under in question, and then the definition that's being applied has been the agency's definition of the gun law, then that's a Chevron matter.
Well, there's another one here, Wilkinson versus Garland, and that has to do with the question of whether or not the administrative. So it was an individual who came here from Trinidad, and he argued that deporting him would be an exceptional and extremely unusual hardship for his elementary school-aged son, whom he served as the sole provider to support. The child's mother, his former girlfriend, suffers from depression and doesn't work. But an immigration judge rejected that argument, and the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit ruled that it didn't have the power to review the immigration judge's determination. So I don't know if they're skirting it that way.
That's clearly a Chevron issue, because the ALJ is the administrative law judge, is not an Article III judge. He's an Article I judge that's, for all practical purposes, an executive agency judge making a ruling on the executive. And when a Article III judge says, you know, that he doesn't have the power to review a decision of an ALJ, he's essentially exercising Chevron deference. So, they go through and exercise this deference to the administrative agencies without actually citing Chevron, because it's been around for so many years. But for all practical purposes, when a Article III judge says he can't second guess an Article I judge, that's clearly outside the authorities that have been granted by the Constitution, because ever since Marbury versus Madison, when Justice Marshall said it is the duty of the courts to say what the law is, that's been the standard for the United States since 1804, and yet somehow or other Chevron ignores that duty that the courts have had since 1804.
Here's another one. This is going to be heard actually today. Oral arguments in Securities and Exchange Commission versus Jarkessi, a case presenting two different themes of the court's 23-24 term, efforts to limit the power of the federal administrative agencies and decisions arising from the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit. So, essentially, the SEC brought an in-house enforcement action against George Jarchese, who launched and served as an investment advisor to two hedge funds, eventually finding that he had committed securities fraud. The SEC ordered him to pay $300,000 in fines and to repay almost $700,000 in gains. He appealed to the Fifth Circuit, arguing that the SEC's structure and enforcement powers violate the Constitution. The Fifth Circuit agreed. It held that the SEC's use of in-house judges to seek civil penalties violates the Seventh Amendment's guarantee of a jury trial. It also held that by giving the SEC broad authority to choose between in-house proceedings and going to federal court, the SEC violated a principle known as the non-delegation doctrine, which requires Congress to provide an intelligible principle when delegating regulatory power. And third, they concluded that the protections from removal provided to the SEC's in-house judges violates the separation of powers. So that one appears to be very, very dead on as it relates to the Chevron doctrine.
Texas, Louisiana, that area there, and there have been, despite everything that's gone on, they've historically still tried to maintain the Constitution in its place. And, of course, the Constitution doesn't allow for the creation of these agencies that have multiple multiple powers and authorities. Executive folks are supposed to enforce the law, and courts are supposed to interpret the law. And it's that's been clear since the beginning, and hopefully we would be making a strong return to doing that again, because it's just very, very strange. But the whole idea that tyranny comes when you have one entity that legislates, executes, and judges all in the same place, and that's what the Fifth Circuit said you can't do. And hopefully the Supreme Court's going to agree with them. It would be a sea change and a wonderful, wonderful situation for us. And hopefully the courts will retake the authority that they've abdicated. So much of our troubles come from the fact that there's authorities that have been granted to various elements of government by the Constitution that these elements of government have abdicated. The Congress has given up its authorities when it tells the legislative branch, when it creates an agency that can legislate. Because, of course, the very first sentence in Article 1 of the Constitution says, the legislative power shall be vested in the Congress of the United States. It doesn't mention anything about any kind of agencies being able to legislate. And that's the essence of what they call the non-delegation doctrine, that Congress doesn't have the authority to give away its power. It just doesn't, you know. So it'd be wonderful if we get back to that. And then Congress has to do its job. And then if they don't do its job, then goodness gracious, the law doesn't, there's no law to pass. And my goodness, we've got enough laws as it stands, you know.
Yeah.
So if they don't want to do the job, then don't do it. Don't pass any. We don't need any new laws. There's plenty of laws out there.
Right, right. All right, we're going to take a little bit of a break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the freedom of religion and freedom of speech, and then kind of how does that get applied? Because I'm watching, for example, these marches, these assaults on our freedoms and on our liberties, these threats against the country, that are on the street right now that we're watching take place. And I believe that our founders did not intend for some of this behavior by an entity that has declared war on our country. I know that there's some conversation to have there, because We also know that, you know, when there's tyranny and there's tyrants and all that kind of stuff, that their founders said that it can become necessary to, you know, basically start over. And so there's a balancing act, I suppose, when it comes to understanding what does that exactly mean relative to the constitutional rights. But when you have a longstanding enemy, and that's what I want to get into with regards to Islam, that has said our goal is to conquer America, you know, how much leeway should we be giving somebody like that?
Throw TikTok on that list too.
Yeah, and their influence. All right, let's take our break. We'll be back with more Chosen Generation Radio coming up right after this. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. My special guest, David Shostokas, our constitutional originalist. Get more at the website, chosengenerationradio.com, chosengenerationradio.com.
So up next, we have Clanslight. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And Clanslight is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically...
Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at chosengenerationradio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glass.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear, even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code CHOSENGENRADIO at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com, coupon code CHOSENGENRADIO. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen-size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king-size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
So up next, we have Clanslight. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And Clanslight is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts, which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits. Everything filtered through biblical glasses. Thanks so much for joining us here. My special guest is our constitutional originalist attorney, David Shostokas. And David, I guess the question that's before us, you know, in my mind, part of this is, you know, we've watched. Islam has a 1,400-year history of first presenting itself as a peaceful religion, then becoming engaged in the political apparatus, and then finally becoming militant, and they, you know, and attacking those that live, and they stretch this out. I mean, you know, you had, just as an example, and I talked with Robert Spencer about this on Monday, talking about the Crusades. He's written a brand new book called Empire of God: How the Byzantines Saved Civilization. Everybody looks at the Crusades and says, oh, those terrible Crusaders. Well, no. There had been 430-plus years of slaughter by Islam, including literally wiping out every Christian in what is modern-day Turkey, but was then Constantinople. Over 2 million Christians were slaughtered. As a matter of fact, there's written report that the slaughter was so severe that the streets, the gutters, were literally full of blood, running blood, not trickle, but running blood down the streets because of how severe the slaughter was by Islam. And Europe waited and waited and waited and waited until finally they were in Spain, and they were committing the same atrocities in Spain and from portions of southern Spain attacking other parts of Europe. And it was at that point that the Crusaders said, enough is enough. We have got to stop this, and we need to return Jerusalem to its founding, to its biblical founding, both for Christians and Jews.
The timeline that you outlined in terms of a bit of the history of Islam, you started out with that, you know, there was originally a religion of peace, which was not the case, of course. It was originally a political ideology put together by essentially the equivalent of a general. Muhammad was a military leader as much as he ultimately cloaked himself as in religion. To bring along his followers as a reason for, you know, the militancy, and he was a military leader. That's and then they grew out of it. And now they've gone back to their roots as a militant organization. That's not unusual for some religions have been misused like that over time. Of course, we had the whole situation with the divine right of kings. Where Christianity was also misused in the same fashion as a political ideology bootstrapped with religion bootstrapped onto it, and of course it went back to its Christian roots and got rid of the whole consideration of divine right of kings.
And I think that's an important piece, just really quickly, to talk about from a theological differentiation. Islam, in its writings, says murder, kill, subjugate, and you can lie, you can cheat, you can steal, you can do whatever you want to an infidel. On the other hand, Christianity says, love your neighbor. even if they are a sinner, you still attempt to love them, and you love them into the kingdom. You don't beat them and tell them, if you don't convert, we're going to kill you. And the misrepresentation of the Crusades is that's what the Crusaders did. Well, it's not. That's not what they did. They fought against a bloodthirsty, and I'm going to say it, and I don't care who doesn't like it. Muhammad was a pedophile, rapist, murdering, bloodthirsty cretin. That's who Muhammad was.
I don't know all those details. I do know that he was a military guy and that he used a religious ideology to advance his political ends. And it was but it began as a military and political ideology. And I don't think it ever left that. And for it to be clothed in religion and misuse the First Amendment as a protection for a religion that's in fact a political and military ideology is a mistaken use of the Quran.
In the writings of the Hadith, it shares, and these are his autobiographical writings, that he used to enjoy sitting down to a meal and watching his victims be cut in half while he ate. He got a kick out of watching them literally be sawed in half and their heads cut off and the women raped and the children raped in front of him while he enjoyed his dinner.
Well, I certainly would suggest that none of that is First Amendment protected activity.
Nor is that approved Christian behavior either. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
Yeah, you gotta go ahead and throw that in. I think we continue to have laws against murder and mutilation, and there's actually laws on the books here against what they call mayhem. That's still an old term that still turns out to be a term in the law. And mayhem means cutting off a limb or a digit or some other body part. And so there's an actually, although it falls within other kinds of crimes called aggravated battery and things like that, mayhem is still on the books. And mayhem is exactly that, cutting off somebody's body parts. And so it remains illegal here in this country, and I'm sorry to hear that it's otherwise still legal. From what I wrote a piece that I repost every Easter that describes things about crucifixion, and crucifixion remains on the books as a penalty in Saudi Arabia. There's a variety of things that that we consider brutal or cruel and unusual under the Eighth Amendment here in the United States that still are considered to be legitimate criminal punishments in various portions of the world, generally speaking, in areas where it's a theocratic state dominated by one or more forms of Islam. And so this is a problem. But that becomes an issue when we were talking about the First Amendment. And still, nevertheless, people are free under the First Amendment to espouse the tenets of Islam if they want. They're not free to execute things that are break American law on the basis that they're, in fact, something that are mandated by, say, Sharia law. And so this is the problem. Sharia law is, in fact, a governing set of laws that adherence to that ideology are supposed to be governed by, and they are to supersede temporal law under those circumstances. The Catholic Church has its own canon law. Most other Protestant religions have their own canon law. The Jewish faith has its own rabbinical laws. Nevertheless, none of them proclaim the right to have any of those laws supersede the temporal law or the positive law that's been passed by the passed by the governments under which they live. But Islam does proclaim that. And to that extent, it is inconsistent with the Constitution of the United States of America. And to the extent that it's inconsistent with the Constitution, it should never find its way into being law. And people that try to enforce it outside the Constitution are, in fact, breaking our law. And if they want to live under that, then they should be someplace where that law is acceptable.
Well, another thing I was looking here for a pen to make a quick note while you were talking, but one of the other things is like, for example, the Satanic Church. The Satanic Church, based on certain states coming out with laws that forbade abortion at certain points, and in some cases at the point of heartbeat, you have Satanic churches that are creating a ritual by which they are saying that we are going to perform a ritual abortion. And, you know, and again, they're using the pretense of the First Amendment and freedom of religion. I would note relative to that I believe is one of the reasons why, you know, John Adams made it very clear. Our Constitution, as you and I have discussed and you have helped me to better define, is about a government that defends the rights of a people, period. But the issue then, as Adams put it, is that our Constitution then is fit only for a moral people. And when he was referencing a moral people, he was specifically talking about a God-fearing moral people predicated on a biblical understanding of the world where there were absolutes, one of those being the value of life.
Yeah, and of course, my own personal thing is Thomas Jefferson more than Madison, and the part that you spoke about is that the purpose of government is in fact defined in the Declaration of Independence, and it is there to preserve and protect the inalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And when the government fails to do so, then the people have the right, no, the duty to alter or abolish it. And so that's the simple purpose of government, is to see to it that people's rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness are protected.
Well, and to
everything else is crazy.
And to your, to your inference to Jefferson, you know, two things that I would make note of. One, I know you're familiar with wall builders and the Bartons. They have Jefferson's personal Bible in their possession. And in the very front of the Bible, Jefferson writes, "Above all else, I am a Christian." He professed his faith. And the founders, Jefferson being one of the lead proponents, argued you cannot have life, liberty, and as you and I have talked about, you know, the pursuit of property, the pursuit of that, of all of those things that are associated.
The benefits of the fruits of your labor is what it amounts to.
Right. You know? But you can't have any of that without an understanding that they are given to us not by government, not by man, but by God himself. And Jefferson was adamant that we must understand that these are things that are put in us. They are literally who we are as the only being on earth created in the image of God. They're who we are. And no king, no authoritarian, no entity of man can usurp God's position in having put those things inside of us. They're literally sucking the life out of you. And I think that's, you know, one of the reasons why I believe the left uses Islam as an example. And again, I'm not saying don't go hating on Muslims, or this is about understanding what Islam truly is. And Islam is a tool, I believe, of Satan in order to strip away and destroy that sense of understanding and of who God truly is and what he's done in us.
I am certainly no Quranic scholar. I don't profess to be, but a few years back, I tried to do some study of that. And when I got to the point where they said it's okay to lie to infidels make progress towards expanding Islam, that's when I said, okay, there's enough for me. When they give you permission to lie to advance your ideology, then there's no real reason to believe anything they have to say.
Well, and basically they call that, it is the doctrine of taqiyya. And it is the ability for a Muslim under Islam, under Sharia law, to lie, cheat, steal, do anything necessary to subjugate an infidel, period. Including pretend to be peaceful until such time as the cry, Allah Akbar, is cried. And at that point, they're going to come into your house and they're going to start slaughtering you. And that is, we watched it on October the 7th, but be clear, historically, that is a, talk to Brigitte Gabriel. That's exactly what happened to her and her family in Lebanon.
That's the essence of my problem. Once I got to that point and I read that, and I actually went and I talked to an imam that was living in that had a mosque in Fort Myers, and I was asking about that, and he walked around in every which way, but he could never give me an answer as to that. And there was no real reason but he never denied that was a true teaching, that was an actual teaching,
yeah,
of their faith. And if the teaching of the faith indicates that you're allowed to lie to others in behalf of your faith, then there's no real reason to believe anything that anything it has to say, which is very troublesome. But be that as it may, apparently this Friday is going to be December, so I'm not going to see you, at least not on the air, until next year, Greg. It's been a wonderful year. I've enjoyed every moment of our time together, and I look forward to having every moment, many moments in the coming year. And hopefully we'll have some progress on some other things regarding Georgia.
Yep.
And we'll be doing some other things. There's a lot of information coming out regarding elections, election fraud, misuse of machines. There's actually a Georgia case outside of my own that's doing that. People need to be educated on election issues. I will tell you that everything else we talk about is really, really important. But the fact is the United States is based upon the consent of the governed, and the way we determine the consent of the governed is elections. And if we don't have the election situation right, we don't have anything right. And that'll be my last message for you for the year.
Amen. Well, and don't forget, and we'll get that graphic back up here real quick, but Give, Send, Go. There is a Give, Send, Go to support Chaplain Lee. GiveSendGo.com/Chaplain Lee. You can see that up here on your screen right now. GiveSendGo.com/Chaplain Lee. To support him, and the legal expenses are mounting, and it's just so important that he has the revenues and has what's necessary to be able to fight this good fight, because it is expensive to travel back and forth between Illinois and Georgia, and staying there, and the time that he has to spend. He has to get a hotel room, he has to eat, he has to live in Georgia, because he has to make these appearances in court. So anything you can do to assist. David, thank you so much for being with us today. I greatly appreciate it. We're going to take our leave for a moment. Hour number two is coming up, and looking forward to having you.
Natural health practitioner.
There we go. On with us. Everything's going off over here, folks. All right, hour number two coming up right after this brief break.
Hi, I'm Tim Schaff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to